We've got word tonight. Psalm 120 introduces to us a series of 15 psalms called the description, A Song of Degrees. The Hebrew text uses the definite article expression and is not just a song of degrees, but the song of degrees. The song of degrees. Naturally, that leads us, what's degrees? And there's only one degree that's mentioned in the Bible. It's mentioned with King Ahaz. He had a sundial that had degrees on it. And of course, you and I know that degrees go to 360 degrees, you know. And from north is 0 degrees. And south is 180. Very good. So then you bring Tiber back, and then you go to 100, and you go to 360. So he had a sundial that had degrees on it, and that was a way that they could tell time. And some of us don't even know what a sundial is. I remember as a kid, there was a sundial at a park. That's kind of neat. See, it didn't work very good at night, but during the day. So, all right. Thank you very much. I made that up. But anyway. All right. No, I didn't make up the sundial, but it didn't work at night. But I have one of those wonderful watches. I love my watch. You push it, and it's called Indigo. And push the button, and Indigo starts. At night, I can see it. I can tell what time it is. So my wife is beckoning me to get up and do something for her. Some of you guys ought to get one like that. I mean, a wife. But anyway, Psalm 120. In my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. That's a blessing. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given unto thee? Or what shall be done unto thee, thou false tongue? Sharp arrows of the mighty with coals of juniper. Woe is me that I sojourn in Meshech, that I dwell in tents of Kedar. My soul hath long dwelt with him that hateth peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. Father, I pray you help us tonight, Lord, as we look at the Word of God. Help us, Lord, as we check things out. May it be encouragement to us, each one of us, as we look into the Word of God, our lives would be changed. And we'd realize that there is a group of people out there that do not like peace. They don't like the truth. They are offended by the truth. And Lord God, help us to just stay by the stuff in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. When King Hezekiah was deathly ill, his prayer was answered. And he was given 15 years extension of life. You're here tonight, maybe you were dying, and you knew you were dying, and you asked God for a few more years. God answered it. I think you'd be pretty happy, amen. He also was given a sign by the prophet Isaiah as proof that he was going to recover. And the proof was this, that the shadow of the sundial that it has went back 10 degrees. And by the way, I was reading a story. I'm really a Nassau buff. I really like what they're doing. And when they were trying to figure out how to land the moon, lunar module, thank you. The scientists were having some trouble because things weren't lining up. And then they realized, then some Christian guy, one of the scientists, he said, I think I know the problem. He said, when Moses, and Joshua stopped it, that changed the motion of the sun. Sun stayed up. And then also, then he said, wait a minute, got another problem here. Hezekiah, 10 degrees back. And so they were able to, and by the way, that's why when that lunar module came in, they laid it right down in the exact spot. Isn't that amazing? So the gears of the world are off a few things, and thank God they said if they didn't do that, it would have slung them right out into eternity, and it would never land on the moon. Kind of interesting, isn't it? How God does. But anyway, the Lord was ready to save me. Therefore, Isaiah chapter 38, verse 20. Therefore, we will sing my song with the stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 38, verse 20. Let's talk about his time. The life of this remarkable king is, to me, very great. It's just great. According to sickness, the Assyrian invasion, the two great events of his life are recorded in three books of the Bible, 2 Kings, 2 Chronicles, and Isaiah. The psalm is in a series, can be arranged in five different groups, each containing three psalms. The first psalm is each triad recorded troubles, and the second records of his trust, and the third one records of his triumph. These psalms may have been sung by the pilgrims going up to Jerusalem. They may have been sung by the returning captivity after they came into Judah, the hills of Judah, and literally when you come in, it seemed like it just burst into sight. If you've ever been over to you've been to Galilee and you're coming south down towards Jerusalem, all of a sudden Jerusalem is right there. Most incredible thing. And a lot of the commentators think that was the song they used to sing. The record of their experience of this dispersed Israelites were coming back from great deliverance from the power of the power of the beast and Babylon. And you remember Persia said, you can go back now. And they did. When they came back, they saw their city. They saw it was on a hill. Israel is up on top of a hill, and when you come, there it is. It kind of bursts out at you. But first and foremost, they are linked with Hezekiah. Psalmist strikes four notes in Psalm 20. He begins this series. He begins this. In my distress, I cried out to the Lord, and he what? Heard me. Aren't you glad God hears you? Oh, man, the other night when Ashlyn was... they were not sure what was going on, right? And all of a sudden, you know, the doctor said, hey, we need to take our appendix. And that's, I don't know about you, but that's very scary to me. And and you cry upon the Lord, and the Lord just gives you peace. And when I got there and started talking a little bit, I just kind of had peace on it. It couldn't be okay. And I don't know, every time you put a little grill and a little one underneath, scary business. That's really scary business. But the psalmist had just experienced the reality of God hearing and answering the prayer God gave him 54 years. I heard another preacher talk about Hezekiah, and he felt that the reason Hezekiah went 15 more years, that is he knew that he was in the king line and he hadn't had a baby. His wife didn't have a baby boy. And he feared that. That was a great fear. And somehow God healed his body. And this was Hezekiah speaking at the scene to the setting psalm as the Assyrian invasion. And then the psalmist had a very recent, very remarkable experience of God answering prayer. You know, I was talking to Sunday about faith. You know, faith is, you know, you can't see it, but you know that God is with us. God will get us through some things that we just don't know which way to turn. Now, let's put the evidence of Hezekiah's life into sequence. He came to the throne of Judah in a desperate hour. The Assyrians were expanding their empire and pressing down from the north, coming towards them. In the line of the events lay little Judah. Now remember, Judah is only two different tribes. Judah and Benjamin, that's all there is. You remember the northern kingdom, they went out. And they split off because of Solomon's son. And Solomon's son was a bad man. He didn't want to serve God. He was scared to serve God because he had a Rehoboam. Scared because he had some buddies that were stronger than he was. And he was afraid of what they were going to do to him. And so he did what the young guy said instead of what the old man said. in the line of their advance lay little Judah, Syria, and the Syrians. And with news coming and constant warlike preparations, the great imperial expansionist northern power. And Hezekiah did not, did what he could to put his little nation into prospering defense. Then he was taken violently ill, seemingly he's going to die. In answer to Hezekiah's prayer, the prophet Isaiah was sent to tell him that he's going to get better. Yeehaw, hallelujah. Good tonight, you know you're going to get better, amen. And that he would live for another 15 years. And the sign would be that the sundial would go back 10 degrees on Ahaz's sundial. And Hezekiah recovered. And about this time, he receives an ambassador from Merodach-Baddan, and the king of Babylon was himself facing war with the Assyrian. And the great king of the east sent Hezekiah and congratulated him on his physical recovery. But undoubtedly, what he wanted to do, he wanted the legions. I remember Babylon. Remember now how Babylon took over Israel years later? Assyria really was not their battle. It was Babylon who was going to come and take everything they had and burn them all down. So he comes and he praises him about getting well, and he wants Judah to go with them against Assyria. And Hezekiah was flattered, no doubt tempted, but the Lord wanted no such dependence on man. Remember that. God does not need anybody.
Yeah,
men trust in horses. I don't trust in God.
Yeah.
And Isaiah was sent to rebuke Hezekiah, who had foolishly, so when he came, the king of Babylon came, he said, by the way, you want to see all our stuff? Mm-hmm. And he showed him all the treasures that Israel had. You think the king of Babylon remembered that? Sure must have. Because when he came in, they burned down the city. And by the way, the historians say the reason they burned down the city. Anybody got an idea why they burned the city? Anybody got an idea? Raise your hand if you got an idea. Why did they burn the city? Because they wanted all the what?
Gold.
All the gold. Was Israel wealthy? The Bible said during Solomon's time that the silver and gold were like pebbles, like gravel on the roads. That's how much they were worth. And of course, they went through some battles. They didn't lose it, but still Babylon. But what happened? Hezekiah said, hey, come here, let me show you my gun safe. Not gun safe, but let me show you my treasures. Some of you guys are, hey, you want to see my Corvette, you want to see my Mustang, you want to see my motorcycles, you want to see, hey, Paul, let me show you what I got. That's what Hezekiah did. He showed him what he had. Far from being a source of help, the Babylonians became a source of sorrow. It was not the Assyrians whom Judah had to fear, it was the Babylonians. The future world empire would not belong to Assyria, but to the current hard-pressed Babylon. The Babylonians were in trouble right there. But boy, I'll tell you what, after a while, they got the power. Judah's judgment would come not from the present and greatly dreaded Assyrians, but by the Babylonians with whom Hezekiah had now considered making alliance with. Shortly after the Assyrian invasion against Judah was launched, any city was taken, and Hezekiah was shut up in Jerusalem like a bird in a cage. And it can be seen that if this psalm was written during the time of Assyrian invasion, Hezekiah could have stated, in my distress I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. He had cried during the sickness. He has been delivered from death, which is our, of course, king of terror. Paul the Apostle said that death is our greatest enemy. Now he wanted to be delivered from the king of Syria, and he mentions first, deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from the deceitful tongue. In verse 2 there can be little doubt that this is a reference to Rabshakeh, a golden tongue orator who paid of the Syrian king. He was history's first propagandist. Rabshakeh assured the Hebrews that Egypt, to which the country, some of the Judah were looking for aid, was like a broken reed, incapable to help. They were powerless, they were incompetent. And so he came in, Rabshakeh came and he spoke. He told the Jews that God had forsaken them because Hezekiah's religious reform had insulted the king. What was his religious reform? Anybody got an idea?
He tore down all his roads.
That's right. Get rid of all them. Got rid of all the homosexuals. And Rabshakeh said, because your king made all kinds of rant and rave against all the other gods, his God is mad and won't help. Well, that's a blessing, isn't it? Isn't that a blessing? Preacher gets up and says, this is what the Bible says, this is what you ought to do, this is what you ought to say, this is what you ought to be careful about living like this, and you ought to be doing that. And somebody comes into the church and says, preacher's crazy. You got to get with the times. Come on, we got to get some good music in the church instead of that old foggy, ancient music. And you need to get some new Bibles. I was reading the commentary, I was reading the advertisement today, and they said, this is some new Bible. This is what you really need. It's a King James Bible, but we put the new words into it. I don't need new words in my Bible. I'll take the authorized version. That 200 years ago, every church, no matter if they're right or wrong, they said the Bible is the old King James. That's the authorized version. That's the best you can get. So, what's wrong with it? Well, I'll tell you what, I read King James long enough. It don't take me long to get me convicted, amen?
Right.
But you know what I found about the King James Version and all these other versions? King James Version new every day. Something new every day. Boy, I found something Monday. And I found something this morning. Man, I got so wild, I wrote it down. Man, I was so excited about it. But God has touched my heart with it, amen. He said, as for Jehovah, this is what Rabshakeh said, as for Jehovah, he was just a tributary deity. And by the way, the Assyrians made short work of the gods of other nations, and Judah's God was no exception. They said, hey, if we come beat you, we'll show you how great our God is and beat you from your God. That's what they used. Like all successful propaganda, it was a clever mixture of truth and lies, promise and threat. And when Hezekiah asked Rabshakeh to speak in the Syrian tongue, he said, hey, you talk to me in the Syrian tongue, I'm going to understand it. That only discouraged the propagandist to speak loudly in Hebrew. So that the rank and file defenders of the wall could hear it. Rank and file people that are defending the wall of King of Jerusalem. You got that? And he's speaking in English. Not English, but in years ago they said that during Vietnam there was a certain officer named that spoke on the radio and you guys could hear it.
Hanoi James.
And she'd speak. Tell the guys that are listening to radio that their wives are cheating on them and their parents thought there's this terrible war and nobody in America wanted them to come back and on and on and on. You know what that did, some guys? Destroyed their morale. They said, what's the use? They don't want us to come back. And unfortunately, it was kind of true because some of the stupid idiots like Jane Fonda and some of the other crackheads and immoral pukes. You say I'm mad about it? Absolutely. They destroyed some of my buddies when they came home. Their hearts were destroyed. We didn't know what it was called. Post-traumatic stress disorder. A lot of problems came back. The guys in the room destroyed. That's what Rhapsody was doing to the children of Israel. And then this guy said, hey, speak in your language. Don't speak in our language. The psalmist wanted to be delivered from the lying tongue and the tongue that was anxious to convert to death the defendant of Jerusalem. False and slanderous utterance is always very difficult to endure and even harder to cover. A lot of things going on today in America. A lot of people upset with, what's her name, that stood up and said, I will not offer a license. Now I got Christians telling me, well, she is wrong. Hey, God's law is higher than any man's law.
Amen.
She'll stand before God. So what if you stand before the Supreme Court of America? Let me tell you something, Supreme Court of America. If it wasn't for God, you wouldn't even be here.
Amen.
So why don't you live what you're supposed to live? They're the ones that are trying to take all the things out. I see they want to take Jesus down out of my Kalispell. You and I know that doesn't look like Jesus, but it's a memorial to our U.S. troops. Give me a break. Taking the Ten Commandments down. But the thing is, why don't you go up to Washington, D.C. and see all the scripture on the buildings?
Right.
That just didn't happen, stupid. We are also told, verse 3, what shall be given unto thee? Or what shall be done to thee, thou false tongue? The real problem was how to extinguish not only the fires set ablaze by falsehood and the insinuation by the enemy, but by the lying tongue. Hezekiah commanded the citizens of Jerusalem to make no reply to Rhapsody. Silence was the only answer that he could conceive. To deny or argue would only strengthen the force of enemy's claim. Similarly, for us, when we are attacked verbally, silence is often the only answer, but so often that seems so passive of the solution. Retribution, however, must lie with God. He's got to lie.
Yes, sir.
Does God have power over it?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
It is he who must pay back the deceitful person. The psalmist wonders how he would do it, but he had no doubt he would. The justice of God ensures that all wrongs be either forgiven or settled. With propaganda, people become the victims of their own lies, and they come to believe the untruth that they tell so to victimize themselves. In the next verse, he prays of what they call a precatory prayer. Precatory means God kill them. That was right in the Old Testament. Now our job is what? Do good unto them that persecute us. You know, pray for them, love them. That's hard. I'm more of a precatory liver, aren't you? God, kill it! Straight down! Bolts of lightning! Fire! That's what he wants. But that's not the New Testament. The Bible says put coals of fire. You know, do good, put coals of fire on your head. I heard a preacher just a while back. He had a Spanish church in his church. And that church had given millions of dollars to that Spanish church. And got him a pastor and did all kinds of things. I mean, huge things. 6 months ago, they said, we're tired of this. We're leaving the church. And they went over to town and started their own church. And the pastor, what a godly man. And I bought them all brand new heart chaffner suits. Had a big day for them at church. Let me tell you something. Who's God going to bless? Is God going to bless that preacher that showed great reserve, but that's not the word, but showed great restraint? Or God done bless that guy that took all those people out of the church and bad-mouthed the church for all they got from. God will take care of that man of God. That, see, the Bible says, the Bible says, vengeance is mine, said the Lord, I will repay. Be careful what you say. Be careful what you say. I've buried a lot of my enemies. They aren't my enemies, they're God's enemies. Not mine. I'm just a servant of God. And they may say things and be very callous. At the end, truth always rises to the top. And all this hijinks and all this junk is going on in America. Let me ask you this. Do you think Hezekiah had any problems in his kingdom when he tore down the idols? Do you have any trouble with the agenda of the homosexuals, the sodomites? Did he have any problem with that? But when you serve God, you're just his servant. And you allow God to take care of it. And the best thing I can tell you tonight is leave it alone, Dwayne. God take care of it. How many knows what leave it alone, Dwayne means? Who doesn't?
Ross has heard this before.
Who has that? Well, I'll tell you. You can go on the internet, Heritage Baptist Church internet, and I think there's something on there. There's a sermon called Leave It Alone, Dwayne. Isn't it on there? You need to listen to it because it'll help you. Because a lot of people fight a lot of things that's not in your business. It's not your area of justice. And you're fighting and you're going against everything because people have hurt you or people said something about your family. You know what? Allow God to take care of that. It's God's job, not yours. People have a lot of blood. And you kill them, you got a lot of cleanup. But when you allow God to take care of it, you really know how to take care of it. So, all right, let's have a prayer. Father, thank you for tonight. Help us, Lord God, to realize that this is not our battle, it's yours. Lord, help us to put our sights on you. And allow whatever it is, people like Rabshakeh, who came to destroy. Lord, help us to allow you to take care of business. In Jesus' name, amen.